The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
One of the foremost giants of Torah that we were zeicha to have in the last many hundreds of years was the Vilna Gaon, Hagon Rabbein Eliyahu, zeicha tzadik livrocha. An enormous amount of his influence fashioned the great Torah centers of Lithuania, which created such great yeshivas, talmidim, rabbonim, gaonim, during the past few hundred years. And he was from the great motivators, and the great leaders, and the great architects of this era. But his greatness transcended this period, and it transcended this area in Europe. And during his lifetime, he planned on going to Eretz Yisrael. For some reason, the trip was aborted. He prepared, and he left. But he came back without going. His son writes in one of the in a place on him that he knows of three things that the great Gaon wanted to do, and Shemayim was not maskim. Heaven did not agree to it. And this was one of those things. Heaven, for its reasons, did not want the Gaon at that particular time to go to Eretz Yisrael. When he was preparing to leave, he wrote a letter of tzavor, of instruction, to his household. His plan was for himself to go to Eretz Yisrael and to settle himself there, and then to bring over his family. In those days, trips were not easy. It wasn't like today. You just buy a few tickets and you get on the airplane. It was a long and arduous and dangerous journey. So he wrote, before leaving, he wrote a letter to his wife, to his entire household, to his mother, to his daughters, sons, his grandchildren, son-in-law, giving them instruction how they should act and how they should conduct the house while he's gone, until they have a chance to be reunited again. This letter has become a very, very well-known letter, very famous letter, because there is so much that we can learn from it. This evening, I would like to study this letter with you and see what we can learn from it. And we can see what was of paramount importance in the eyes of the Gaon. We must take into consideration that we're speaking here of some 10 or 15 generations ago. We're speaking here of around 250 years. The Gaon was born in 1720, which was 270 years ago. And things were not at all the same as they are today. We're speaking here in a different locale altogether, in Vilna. Vilna was a very, it was not from the most modern places in Europe. Western Europe was much more modern. This was Eastern Europe. This was Lithuania. Even though the Jews held a very important position in the city, and by no means, they were the intellectuals of the city. They were not the peasants of the city. Nevertheless, they lived very simple lives when it came to the physical type of life, and they were quite impoverished. And we're speaking here of the Gaon who's writing a letter, and he's writing it to his household. So naturally we have to take in consideration Hakol Lefi Odom, all the, it's in accordance to the particular person, Vahakol Lefi Hazman, Vahakol Lefi Hamokom. It's all in accordance to the particular time and the particular place. So we have to study this letter with Chochmah, with wisdom, to apply it to our situations. But nevertheless, there's a great deal that one can learn from here. He starts by saying, Bosi levakesh miitchem shelo titzaru klal uklal. At first, he doesn't want his family to worry about him at all, because he's going for such a long way, because there are people who make such trips for money, for panosa, and they leave their wives and they leave their families, and they go away for a year or 2 years or 3 years. This was something which was common in those times, because travel was so difficult. And here I'm going on a great mitzvah, and I'm going b'sholem, I'm going in peace. I don't have to go. And I'm going, thank God, to Eretz HaKadosha, to the Holy Land, shehakol mitzapim lereiso, which everyone wants to see. Kol el elyonim v'atachtonim, this world and the higher worlds. So therefore, you should not worry and do not feel badly for me. And you should understand why I'm doing this. And in Yitz Hashem, I will settle and we will all be reunited. Then he comes to start to give them instruction. The first point which he makes is that you must realize ki kol ha'elam hazeh ha'kol hevel. Bekol ha'shashuim ha'kol kelei. A person must realize the value of this world when it's looked at independently. It's like Kehelis. Shlema HaMelech says in Kehelis that if a person looks at this world alone and life in this world alone, then I call heaven. It's worthless. Do not place great importance on the physical features of this world, because there'll be a time that this world will be gone. There'll be a time when a person's life is finished in this world. And if his whole life is to pursue what this world has to offer, then he's going to end up to be a very bitter and disappointed individual. Because in the end, he'll take nothing with him. He has to know where he comes from, and he has to know where he's going to end up. And he comes into this world with nothing, and he leaves this world with nothing. So therefore, the first point we must always place before us is, what is the value of this world when it's taken in its own right? And is it worthwhile for a man to spend his time, to spend his energies in pursuit? He says, no, it's like the Kehelis says, Hakol Hevel Havoli. It's worthless, it's of no value. That's if we take it in its own perspective. This is the foundation that he lays. Why? Because a person was created for greater things. He wasn't only created for this world. He was created for another world. He wasn't only created for things of this world. He was created for things of greater worlds. And if he's going to look at this world like it really has something to offer him on its own right, then how's he going to seek the Dvarim HaGdolim, the great things that the world really has to offer? And he must realize, like we mentioned in the Shir just before Rosh Hashanah, that Elam Hazeh is Deimel HaPrezidim. Elam Hazeh is like an antechamber, like an entry hall to the next world. The next world, That's like the great palace, Sakhalin. That's like the vestibule. This world was given for man to use it, for man to utilize it, but to come to greater things. Haske natsmecho, the Christ, kedeshi tikones letarklin. Prepare yourself. This world was the derech, like we spoke about. This world was given to man to take from, to use, to utilize. But to utilize it in order that through this he will come to greater things. Prepare yourself in the anteroom in order that you may enter into the palace, the Chatzar HaMelech, the palace of the king. So therefore we have to view this world in its proper perspective. If we look at all of the so-called wonderful things that this world has to offer, and we view this as an end in itself, then he says no. Then you're giving away your life, and you'll be very unhappy and bitter individuals. And on that he says, Akino, Al Tikane Ba'ishur. Don't let jealousy play a great role in your motivations. Don't be jealous of what other people have. Why? Because yesh eishe shomer lebalav lereihu. Because everything that man is supposed to get in this world is allocated for him. It's allocated for himself. So what does it mean that you're jealous of what others have? If others have it and you don't have it, that means others should have it and you shouldn't have it. And it belongs to them. So why should you be jealous of it? Why should you look at other people's homes and you look at other people's wealth, and other people's possessions? And you have kino, you have jealousy and envy in your heart. Yesh eishe shomer lebalav. Everyone's world is apportioned to he himself. Chazal tell us that ein adam negea, no man can touch what belongs to someone else, kemolesar, even with the breath of a hair, can't come near it. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives to everyone the way he wants to give. So a person should be happy with what he has. But what is the use of being mekane, of having envy for what other people have? This is in regards to kino. That he speaks of kovod. Don't pursue the kovod hameduma. Don't pursue what people think in this world is honor and glory. There is true honor and true glory, but it's not what people think in this world. Don't pursue it. Because it's empty, it's superficial, it's worthless. And it's very transitory. The Chazal tell us that this world is like a scale. V'hazman beigin v'hukim oznaim. Time is like a scale. And just like the scale is yagbiya hakal b'yashpil hakoved, that just like a scale, what is light goes up and what is heavy goes down. As time goes on, things change. This goes up and the other goes down. The other goes up and this goes down. And like we see it in this world. There's a Maimar Chazal, a Medrash, that a matrumisho, an important Roman woman, asked once one of the rabbis of the Mishnah, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do after he created the world? She said he makes ladders. She said, why does he make ladders? Because they yashpil v'zei yagbia. Because he spends all his time lifting up this one and bringing this one down. And this one that's down he lifts up and the other one he brings down. This is what happens to people. This is what happens to families. This is what happens to nations. One rises and the other falls. Zei yishofel v'zei yirad, like we say on the Sada Tekev. So don't waste your life trying to get to the top, which is an illusory top, the way people think what the top is. Because you could spend an entire lifetime never getting there. Or you might get there and then find out the next morning or a few months later that you've fallen. That's in regards to the COVID. Now it comes to Taiva. People are driven by their desires. Their desires to take. They want to fill their desires. He says you should realize that it's impossible. It's impossible for a person to fill his desires in this world. And he says, He brings from the Chazal. When it comes to this world, what we consume in this world, it's like mayim meluchim. It's like salty water. A person who's thirsty, and he comes to a well of salty water, he drinks to satisfy his thirst, but he doesn't realize that it's creating a thirst. The more he drinks, the less he'll be satisfied. The more he consumes, the more he desires. People constantly want to take in things to themselves because in order to satisfy their appetites. He says the appetite is never satisfied in this world. When it comes to the physical world, it's never satisfied. And this is what our Chazal say, Einor meis v'chatzi tavose biyodei. No matter how much a person has taken in this world, there is no man that will die who has satisfied even half of his appetite. So therefore this motivation that we have to constantly eat or to constantly drink or to constantly acquire, because we have this urge to do so, we have this need, and we do it to fill this need. If we look at this from a physical perspective alone, you can do this for a million years, you will never feel the need. The Gemara says, Yesh Leimono, Rotzi Masai. A person has a 100, and he wants 200. He feels if I'll have 100, everything will be good. He finds he has 100, he wants 200. He feels if I need 200. When I have 200, everything will be good. When he has 200, he wants 400. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And therefore we must understand it. So therefore we cannot look at this world and give credence and give importance to the physical perspective of this world alone. We must use the physical to bring us to greater heights of the spiritual world, to Torah, to mitzvahs, to deeds. But for the physical perspective alone, then we will fail. See, here he spoke about Hakino, Vahatava, Vahakovet. And this is what the Mishnah states in Ovis. Hakino, Vahatava, Vahakovet, Meitzina, Sa'odam, in Ha'ilu. Person must beware of those three great forces. The force of jealousy and envy, that's in the Nefesh order. And the force to seek glory and honor, that's in the mind of the person. And the physical desires, Hatava, because they will drive a person out of this world. On Shabbos, we quoted a Maral. But the Maral brings from the Gemara, tells us, the Uber b'mei imai, the fetus, when he's in the womb of the mother, first of all, he's bent over and he has his head down. Then he's echel, he called Masha echles imai, v'sheisa called Masha imai shosa. He eats only what the mother eats, and he drinks only what the mother drinks. And then even that he eats or drinks, he does it through the navel. He doesn't do it through the mouth. It's like an intravenous. So the Maral explains why. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned man in a way that he can achieve the most from this world. So he's teaching him. He's emblazoning it on his nature. Firstly, he comes into the world. When he's in the womb, his head is down. This is to give a man a conscience, a nature, that he should be humble, not arrogant. He should not pursue COVID, because the pursual of COVID destroys a man. Secondly, it teaches him that everything that he eats or drinks is allocated to him and him alone. He only eats and drinks what's in his world. It's impossible for the uber, for the fetus, to eat or drink anything that belongs to someone else. Only what the mother consumes, and now it becomes part of his world, can he eat or drink. This is to teach us that when it comes to physical sustenance, everyone has his own world. Soma Labailov, Kodesh Baruch Hu allocates for each person. And that he must use, but not what belongs to others. That he can never take. The fetus can never take something that doesn't belong to him. And thirdly, how does he eat or drink this? Not because of a redifas hataiva, not because of his great sensual experiences of eating or drinking, because he doesn't take it through the mouth. So he has no senses of taste at all. He eats for the sake of nourishment, and he drinks for the sake of nourishment. And this must be our motivation. Yes, we're supposed to enjoy the food, we're supposed to enjoy the drink, but the main motivation is for the sake of nourishing one and becoming strong. So these are the three things the Gaon mentions here. And then he says, and this is in regards to what the Chazal tell us, that it drives a person out of this world. Many people think, look, I'm satisfied to have Eilam Hazeh. You take Eilam Habo. That's what Esav told Yaakov. I'm satisfied to have Eilam Hazeh. Let me pursue wealth, and let me pursue COVID, and let me pursue everything physical in this world. I want to enjoy myself in this world. Next world I'll leave for others. But the Chazal tell us, Meitzinas Odom Min Ha'Eilam, it drives a person not out of the next world. It drives a person out of this world. This world he won't have. And surely the next world. And this is what the Gaon writes. He says, he says, what does a person have? In the end, he becomes dust. And all of the pleasures that he had are gone. Umah ha'elam azeh, and even while he was alive, kol yom ha'bekas. His whole life was a life of aggravation. Umah ha'evim. His life was a life of trouble and pain. Gam balayla inena meniach leilishan. And even he is so caught up in this world that even at night, which is supposed to be his ace manucha, his time of rest, he cannot sleep. So not only will he have to give judgment in the next world, but what kind of life does he have in this world? This is a very important principle. People think that we are asked to sacrifice this world for the next world. Do you think that if you pursue this world, you'll have this world? We're not asked to sacrifice this world for the next world. But this is how we can have both worlds. I once heard a story. The story was said over by my Rebbe. He tells the Rosh Yeshiva of Gifter. I mentioned it many times. He said that there was a businessman, a merchant, who was on a trip, and he was traveling through Vilna, and he went to a lodge, an inn for the night, took a room, or maybe it wasn't in Vilna, maybe it was in some other city, and next door to his room, he heard someone learning the most beautiful, beautiful nigun, the most beautiful melody, and it was a melodious. They say the Gaon used to have a beautiful voice. It was melodious and with a peace and a tranquility. And he went to the innkeeper and he asked, who's learning like that? So he told him, that's the great Rabbein Eliyahu from Vilna. So he said, I want to go in and see him. He knocked on the door and went in. He saw the Gaon there. And he saw a picture of radiance and a picture of simcha, of happiness and joy. And like someone who didn't have any troubles whatsoever. And here he was a merchant, a traveler. And in those days, travel was very difficult. And he was burdened. So he went up to the Gaon and he said, Rebbe, teach me how I can also have Olam Haba. How I also can have the world to come. So the Gaon smiled at him and he said, you asked for the world to come. This implies that this world you have. He says, no. He says, I have to go in the winter and in the snow. And I always have to worry that someone is trying to steal money from me, and someone is trying to take business from me, and someone is trying to defraud me, and I have to leave my wife and my family and my children. Now I live a miserable life of suffering here. So he said, the Gaon answered, he says, even this world you don't have, and you're asking for the world to come. Work on having this world first, and then you'll have the world to come also. The Chazal tell us, Hakina v'atayvid v'akovid, it doesn't say, Meitzina sa'odim e'ilam hazer, will drive a person out of e'ilam hazer. Hakina v'atayvid v'akovid will drive a person out of this world. These are people that you see that have given up their time and their lives and their family and their health and everything physical they've given up in their pursuit of this world. And even when it comes to the manucha they should have of sleeping at night, their problems do not let them sleep. So this is the first premise he places. And this is an important premise, because if a person is going to give priorities to what this world seems to have to offer in its own right, then we can't go further. He must realize that this is a wonderful world. Like we spoke on before Rosh Hashanah, Yofer, Sho'achas, of Tshuva, Maisim Tevim, Be'elam Hazeh, this world has what to offer that the next world doesn't. But that's only if it's utilized for greater things. Now he comes, and he says, he speaks about the Chet HaDibur. The Aveira, the transgression of the tongue. Hakol Yovi Bemishpot. He says you must realize that everything will come to judgment. Kodesh Baruch Hu brings every act to judgment. And he rewards accordingly. And he extracts justice accordingly. Al Kol Dibor. And on every word. V'lei Nevad Afilu Dibor Kol. Every word will come to judgment, and not one word will be lost. Therefore, he says, I caution you to be very, very careful with speech. Because when it comes to the Chet HaLoshon, this is above everything else. Now this is a mouthful. The Gaon is saying, Ki chet haloshon al kula. When it comes to the chet of the tongue, he says that's the worst chet in the Torah. There is nothing worse. The loshon hara keneged kula. Then he quotes the Chazal. Chazal say loshon hara keneged kula. And then he goes further. He says, Mali laharech bezer. He says, why is it necessary for me to expound on this? Ha'oven ha'chomor mikol ha'averes. The transgression, the avera, which is more severe than all of the avera shebetera. This is what he's putting down here. This is very important. Because in our lives, we talk about everything. Or at least we think we talk about everything. Of what's important and what's not important. But we almost allocate importance to everything except the Dibur, except talk. Talk is cheap. Talk is not Shabbos. Talk is not Tefillin. Talk is not Matzah. Talk is not Kashrus. No. And it's Hefker, like the Chofetz Chaim says. Our speech becomes Hefker. You're allowed to say this. And you're allowed to say that. And this is a mitzvah to say. in the Gaon, in his letter, you'll see over and over it comes back to this. And he tells his family, he says, Al kol dibor, on every word, will be Yoveh Lemishpat, will come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lachein ani mazircho, therefore I caution you, ki heit haloshen al kulay. Be careful and be careful with what you say, because it's the worst aveira in the whole Torah. Loshen hora keneged kulam, the Chazal tell us. Loshen hora is equal to all other aveiras. Umali laharich b'zeh ofen. Why is it necessary, he says, for me to expound and elaborate on this aveira, which is chomer mikol aveiras, which is more serious than all aveiras in the Torah. Omru chachmeinu zal. He says, the Chazal tell us, shekol mitzvesa v'teirosev shel odem enam maspik l'mashe meitzim bipiv. All of a man's Torahs and mitzvahs might not be enough to save him from what, from the way he has used his mouth when he shouldn't have. Ma ubnosei shel odem b'elam hazeh. What is a man's purpose in this world, he says, yosim atzmei ki'ilem, to keep his mouth closed. He says, that's a man's purpose in this world. He brings him a Chazal to watch his speech. And he says, even when it comes to idle chatter, when it comes to chatter which is purposeless, idle chatter, even on that, he says, man is going to have to pay for every dibor. And he writes that the judgment is very, very severe and strict. He says, avol bedvorim asurim, but when it comes to words which are prohibited, kigain, for example, loshen hora, or letzonis is where you make mockery of people, or you scoff at things that you shouldn't scoff at, or shvuos and nedarim, or people that go and they take oaths or nedarim when they shouldn't take, or machlekes, dibush shel machlekes, people who make machlekes with their talk, or klolos, or people who curse. He says, when we're speaking about dvorim asurim, and even more so if it's on Shabbos and Yantif in Shul, then he says the einish, the punishment, is a terrible, terrible punishment. Even when it comes to idle, purposeless chatter, he says, who's talking about dvorim asurim? Words which are forbidden. And certainly in Shul, he says, on Shabbos and Yantif, where you have kedushas amokim, the kedusha of the place, and the kedushas asman, how much more so? And every word that a person says, this is he's writing to his household. He's speaking here to his wife. Every word that a person says, he says, Kesvin kol dibur v'dibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes it down. And this is what is meant, Ki eifa shamayim yelich es hakol ubal kenofim yagid. The birds of the heavens carry the voice, and the wings bring the words. They bring them to the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he writes them down. So he says this, ani mazir chu, you must be very, very careful with. Then, he says, because of this, the best thing is be mamayit, minimize in social gatherings. Today we hold a big deal for social gatherings. The Gaon didn't agree. He says, minimize. He says, the less time you spend in social gatherings, the better off you are. Because when you come together with other people, so there's going to be talk. And when there's talk, a lot of times there's trouble. From there can come Loshen Hora. From there can come Rechilas. From there can come Machlekes. From there can come Kino. Therefore, he says, as much as possible, minimize where you have to, where you have a responsibility, where it's a great, great mitzvah. All right. But otherwise not. And not everything is mitzvah. Then he says, it's even better that whatever you need, Send the shliach, send someone to get it for you. So you don't have to go out. And even if it'll be twice or three times as much as the cost, he says, it'll be better to do it through another person than you. You'll say, how can you afford it? He said, we're speaking here to do a great mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? To be saved from Lashon Hara. To be saved from words that a person is not allowed to say. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu surely will give you enough money for. He says, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hazon Mikane Reim Ad Beit Zekinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he supports and he sustains everyone. From the largest and most ferocious animals in the world to the smallest creatures, he sustains. Yad Hashem Tikzor. So therefore he gives to everyone in accordance to his need. Ubi Shabbos v'yamtev. And Shabbos and Yamtev, then especially you must be careful. He says there, you must be careful certainly to be mamay pediba. Ki kedusha Shabbos gedele me'od. Because the sanctity of Shabbos is very, very great. Therefore you, Shabbos and Yamtev in particular, because of the sanctity of Shabbos and Yom Tov, be very careful with what you speak. Now that he spoke, he mentioned Shabbos, so he comes to say, "V'techabed es haShabbos me'od." Give Shabbos a great deal of kovod, a great deal of honor. Kasher hoyo lefonai, like it was when I was there. Well, v'altetzamtzem klal, don't hold back expense for Shabbos. He called Mizaina Isav Shalodim Ksuvin Lema Rashashana Yema Kipurim, Chutz Meitzo Shabbos Veitzo Yantiv. Because a person's panos is allocated. He's given so much to spend during the year, so he has to be careful he doesn't overspend because he might run out of money. But whatever he spends on Shabbos and Yantiv, that's not allocated. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him back. So therefore he said, Techabed es haShabbos me'od me'od. Give great honor to Shabbos, the altitzamtzim klal. Don't hold back expenses for Shabbos at all. And don't worry that you won't have enough, because whatever you'll spend for Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you back. Now, on this that we're speaking of the Chet HaDibur, he comes to go a step further, and that's in regards to the Chinuch, to the education of the daughters. He tells his wife, and he says as follows, V'gambosi levakesh mi'itoch me'od me'od. I come to appeal from you. With a great appeal, bivakosho gedele va'atzuma ushtucha. With an enormous appeal, I come to you. Shetadrich es benosayich me'od. That you must educate the daughters in an extreme in this. Shalayetze mipihem klola ushfua because of umachlekes. That from their mouths should not be heard any types of words which are forbidden. Curses, or oaths, or lies, or machlekes, or strife. Now this is something very novel. Because, firstly, like we mentioned, we don't place that much emphasis at all when it comes to talk, when it comes to Lashon Hara, or if it comes to Machlekes. Many times we say it's a mitzvah. But to educate our children, yes, we educate our children how to daven. We educate our children in kashrus. But how much time do we spend educating our children that they shouldn't fight, or that they shouldn't lie, or they shouldn't speak Lashon Hara? By the Gaon, this was a Nikush HaBakol. This was paramount. And again, what does he say? Gambosi levakesh mi'itoch. I come to appeal from you me'od me'od. Me'od me'od means with an enormous appeal. Bevakosha gedele va'atzuma v'shtucha. I come to appeal to you with a great and enormous appeal with all of my strength. Shetadrich has been a sayach mi'od. Instruct
your daughters, that from their mouths should not come a curse or an oath or a lie or machlekes, rak hakol b'sholom, but everything should be b'sholom, be'avo, b'chibo, uvenachas. But everything in the house amongst the children should be with sholom, should be with love, should be with chibo, with endearment, and with nachas. Nachas is menucha, with relaxation. But amongst the children, there must be in the house an atmosphere of companionship, an atmosphere of harmony, an atmosphere of relaxation, an atmosphere of love. This is what he places right near the top of the list. Now he goes to another point. And this is the point where he tells his wife and the household about learning. He says, you must learn all of the time the Sifrei Musar. Sifrei Musar, Svarim, the books, the teachings that have to do with ethical and character development. And he says, Yeshli kama Sifrei Musar Mloshen Ashkenaz. He says, I have many Svarim, Sifrei Musar, which are translated into Ashkenaz. Ashkenazi probably meant Yiddish, which are translated into Yiddish. Ikru tamid. Learn from them all of the time. In other words, take this for him with a translation and learn all of the time. The Sifrei Musar, what teaches a person in good midas, in good manners, in character development. We call Shkein b'Shabbos Kedesh Kedoshim. And certainly on Shabbos, which is the Holy of Holies. Lo yisasku ele b'Sifrei Musar. You should only spend the Shabbos learning the Sifrei Musar. And now, he says, in regards to the children, v'hinei tadrichom tomid b'Sifrei Musar. The daughters also, teach them that they must constantly learn from the Sifrei Musar. They should take these for him that are translated and read from them all of the time. Ba'klolo u'shvu v'kosav. Now he comes back to what he said before. And he repeats it again. He says, when it comes to curses, or oaths, or lies, takreisom, v'leitarachem aleim klal. He says, you must educate the children that they should not say curses, or oaths, or lies. And on this he says, you must punish them if they do. You must discipline them. You must give them a hiding. The Gaon was a very soft person. But in this he says, you must give them a hiding. V'leitarachim aleim klal. He says, don't have mercy on this, because this is not being merciful. Now again, the only place where he mentions this is where it comes to the Chet HaDibur. Where he says to, later on we'll see when he speaks about teaching them to learn Torah, it's just the opposite. But when it comes to being mechanech them, and the Chet HaDibur, and how to use their mouths, and that he says, Takereisom, you must hit them if necessary. V'leiterachim aleihem, do not be merciful, because that's not mercy. Then he starts speaking, because what will be the great disgrace it would be if they grow up in the wrong way. And this will be a great disgrace to their own selves and to their own souls. It will be a great disgrace to their father and mother. And this is not being merciful. Esovio himechaleles. Now also, he says, you must, again he repeats, you must teach them Loshon Hora and Rechilus. Incidentally, let us just explain, Loshon Hora means to say something negative about another person, not in his presence, or in the presence of other people. Rechilus means that when Shimon says something, and you repeat that, or Shimon says something, or he does something, and you repeat that over to Reuven, And there's a possibility that by you repeating it to Reuben, it can start machlekes. It's an inflammatory statement. It stirs up things. It incites. That's rechilus. In other words, rechilus is carrying gossip from one to another, which is inflammatory, which can stir up machlekes. This is rechilus. This is very important with children, because children all the time, they come and they say, look what so-and-so did, and look what so-and-so said, and this one said this about you, and this one did this for you, and so forth and so on. And we mentioned in the Shir not long ago on Shabbos that the Ravid holds that Rechilus is more chamura than Lashon Hora. The Rambam holds Lashon Hora is more severe, but the Ravid holds Rechilus is more severe. And the Lashon of the Rambam is as the Shefik Domim Harbe. It's Heirig Nefoshes. That this can come to the shedding of blood. She says, you must also tadrichem tomid, you must also instruct them all of the time in Loshon Hora and in Rechilus. Now, he adds, Ushalei yechlu v'yishtu kim bebrocha rishayne v'achreina. Instruct them that they must never eat or drink without making a brocha in the beginning, and a brocha afterwards, ubirches as mozin, and bench the krishma. And they should say krishma. Bahakol bekavona, and all with kavona. Now this is a chidush, this is something which is unique. We know that you should instruct a person that he should make a brocha before eating, and after eating that he should bench, and that he should say krishma. But we don't necessarily teach him that it should be bikavona. This is something which he emphasizes here and similarly a little later. He says bikavona, that you must teach them what a brocha is about. Not that a person should be a parrot. Unfortunately, this is the way we teach children. They should be like a tape recorder, a parrot. You teach them to say the words. I say the word, you say it. I say it, you say it. They can say it back. But they haven't the slightest idea of what they're talking about or what it means. What is it for? Kavona means that when you make a brocha on something to eat, you're giving a shvach v'hidor. You're giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's giving you something to eat. When you make a brocha achreina, when you make a brocha after you eat something, you're thanking him for what you eat. Like krishma, when you say krishma, you're declaring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ruler of the world. This is Hakol Bekavoda. This is what we must teach, he said. Not that as a parrot they say over brochas, that a machine can do too. You must teach them how to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You must teach them how to praise Hashem. The bracha is merely the vehicle to carry that thanks, to express that praise to Hashem. V'hakol bekavona. Whatever they do, you must see that they do it with kavona, with the proper intention of what is meant. Then again, he says, now he comes back, the Ikar HaKol, he calls it an Ikar HaKol. He says, with the daughters, they shouldn't go out too much. He says, the less they go out, the better. In other words, this is what we mentioned before. This is Darkei Atzniyus. The less one mixes, the better it is. Because many of these ills that we're speaking about, this comes from when a person is in constant contact with people, especially if he has a lot of time on his hands. He says, Ikra kol, what is paramount, is they shouldn't go out. The less, the better. This is very important. Because (clears throat) get-togethers have their, they have their purposes. Many times it's important to come together. You come together on Simchas, you come together on Rishon, and on Sholem Zohar, and on Shabbos Kalos, and on Chasanas. They're very important. Simchas Shel Mitzvah. It's very important. But they have also, the costs also are involved. But a person, if he'll examine himself carefully, many times it could be Yotzer Schor v'Hefseder. That whatever mitzvah he had, it was lost from other things that were lechontimel. How many times do I hear from people, they go to a simcha, or they go to a get-together and they come back and they said what was spoken about at the table? And they start talking about machlekes, and they start talking about what this one wore. Later on, he'll come to that again. What this one wore, and what this one spent, and what meat this one used, and what meat that one used. That's a simcha shel mitzvah. That's a simcha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. When the Gaon says, "I'll call dibur v'dibur," on every dibur will be written down. And that's something that's very important to take into account. Yes, there's times you, it's a great mitzvah. There's times when it's important for you to be there. But he's telling his daughters, don't be yitzonius. What the Chazal tell us a yitzonius. Yitzonius means getabouts, goings. There used to be, I remember, an individual in my hometown that they used to refer to as the Shtot Mechutin. Why did they call him the Shtot Mechutin? Because at every simcha he was always there. The Shtot Mechutin means that he was a Mechutin by every simcha. Where does it say a mitzvah to be the Shtot Mechutin? That at every brish you must be, and every chasna you must be, and every Shabbos kala you must be. You go where it's important for you to be. You go where you can do more mitzvah than harm. But to use this and to clothe it in the shame of mitzvah as a ulterior motive that people can come together and talk Loshon Hora and Machlekes and Kina and everything else. No. And this is very important. And this is why he's telling his wife in regards to the daughters. Va'ikar kol, the best would be minimize. The less they go out, the better. Don't be a yitzonius. And they'll stay. They'll save themselves great, great sorrows. Gad levanecho. Now he comes to the sons. Also to the sons. The gad leisom bederech hayosho ubenachas. Bring them up. Derech HaYosho, that they should be upright. Yosho means straight, not crooked. They should be upright and honest. Ubenachas. Nachas means with menucha, with a calm, with a relaxation. V'tishalim shchar limud v'tachzik melamed v'veisecho v'leitetzam tzeim b'shchore. Hire the best melamding for them. He held a malamed should be in the house. In those days, many times, you would hire a private malamed that would come to the house. He says, keep a malamed for them in the house. Support him. And the best, when it comes to pay fees for Torah, he says, al tetzamtzem klal, don't hold back. This is a limud musa. We always complain how high fees are when it comes to Torah. We're not dealing here in cars. We're not dealing here in modern conveniences. We're talking about Torah. He says, "Al tetzamtzem klal, don't hold back at all. when it comes to hiring the best melamdim for the children. He called Mizainesim Shalodim Ksuvin Lemarashana Chutz Mitinekishl Beis Rabbon. Because even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu allocates each one so much money, so he has to be careful not to overspend. But just like what he spends on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that is not in the Cheshbon. The same what you spend on teaching Torah to your children, that's not in the Cheshbon. Whatever you'll be Meisif, Meisif in Lai, whatever more you'll spend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you for it. V'gam hinachti lohem sforim. And he says, I have left them for him also, that are fit for them, that they can learn. Uleman Hashem tadrichon b'tevu benachas. Now he repeats it. He says, Leman Hashem. Leman Hashem is like a plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, bring them up b'tevu benachas, with a goodness, and with a calm, a manucha. When it comes to teaching the children, instructing them, it must be with a joy. It must be with a kindness. It must be with a calm and a manucha, a relaxation. Tashgiach al b'riyosim. Pay heed to their health. This is important. It's not the doctor speaking, this is the Gaon. Pay heed to their health. U'mezeinesom tomit. See that they always have enough to eat. That they lack nothing that they need for their health. They don't need for their health. That's something else. You know, today we live just the opposite. Every parent makes sure that his spoiled child has everything that he doesn't need. Yeah. Everything that he doesn't need, he must have. Trips overseas. Fancy cars. What he does need, that nobody looks at. There was once who someone said very, very well, he said, we want to give our children whatever our parents didn't give us, couldn't give us. But we make one mistake. We're forgetting to give our children what our parents did give us. Perhaps they weren't able to give us everything we didn't need. But most of the things we did need, they did give us. And we're giving our children everything they don't need. What they do need, who watches to see if what they eat is healthy? Most of the food they eat is garbage. Who watches to see that they go to bed on time? Who watches to see that they grow up strong? So that's what the Gaon says. He says, Tashkiach al b'riyosam. Pay heed to their health. This is the mother and the father's responsibility. Umezeinosom, it's their responsibility to see that the child is in bed on time and is on up on time, and the child grows up healthy, and to see that he's well fed, that he eats what he should eat. Shalayach salahem, that they should not lack whatever they need. How should you teach them? Shiyumdu mikedem kol haChumash. First, teach them the entire Chumash. Don't teach them anything else until they know the entire Chumash. And until they know the entire Chumash almost by heart. This was the old style. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Ben Chomesh Mikra. When a person is 5 years old, he learned Mikra. He didn't go to Mishnah until he knew the Mikra. Well, this is what the Gaon is saying. Teach them all of the Chumash. But how should you teach them the Chumash? Teach them the Chumash so well and so many times till they know it almost the entire Chumash Baal Peh. This was the old Litvish style. How many times have I met Litvaks that left Europe? They left Europe 40, 50 years ago. And they hardly have learned anything since then. And still they start saying over by heart the Chumash and the Mishnah that they learned 50 years ago. We just had such a case like this in Yeshiva just a week or two ago. A man 82 years old came in, and he left Europe. He was 16 or 17, and he started to say over by heart. Took him from Tillim, a perek after perek, Mishnais, what he had learned 50, 60 years ago. And we have difficulty saying over by heart what we learned yesterday. Why was that? Because in the Cheder they learned, and they chazed a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time, and a sixth time, till the Gemara says, Ein adem mi shishena. It's mayor pomim. You cannot compare someone who learns something 100 times to 101 times. He says, teach them the entire Chumash until they know it kemat palteh. But then he says, but al yachdid aleihem. But how should you teach them? There were other areas. I met Jews from other areas in Europe. And these Jews told me they had a very, very bad taste from cheder. And when they left cheder, they never wanted to learn again. Why? Because they said their malamed was cruel to them. He says they had to sit just like this, and if they made a move, he hit them. And if they forgot something, they didn't know they hit them. I mean, many Jews like that from other areas, but not Lithuania. Lithuania, when Jews start speaking about the cheder, usually a tear comes to their eyes. And this is what the Gaon says: Al yachbir aleihem. But when you teach them, do not overdo it with them. Don't be too heavy on them. Ki'im benachas. When you learn with them, it must be with a kindness. It must be with a calm, with a relaxation. Ki alimud eina nikva ba'odem ki'im b'yishu b'venachas. The Chazal say, in atheira niknel b'yishu. Because the limud, the wisdom of the Torah, will not enter a person's heart or mind unless he's relaxed, unless he's calm, unless he's happy. You can't force Torah into someone. You can maybe force him to come to the cheder, but you can't force him to understand Torah. That you have to make appetizing for him. That you have to teach him with a love. So he says, "Val yachbir aleihem." Even though you might learn something over with him 100 times, but you cannot force him. It should be benachas. So how should you do it then? So he says, "How tivazer lehem prutei sekiyetsa." What do you do if they don't want to learn? They don't want to learn. What do? You have to hit them. Otherwise, how are they going to learn? He says, no. You make them want to learn. How do you do that? You bribe them, he says. Give them prutas. Give them money. I remember a senior chavrus of mine, says he used to come when he was a boy. He used to go to a shul. And in the shul, on Shabbos, or maybe it was during the week, they used to learn. So they used to invite him to sit down and learn, and they'd give him an apple. So he says, you can't imagine how much he learned from that shiur. But the whole motivation was the apple. This is what kept him coming. So with a child, you have to make him want to learn. How do you do it? You give him things. You tell him that if he'll come to learn, then you'll give him a pruta, you'll give him a coin, you'll give him an apple. If he learns this much, you give him a prize. If he learns more, you give him a prize. Until slowly and slowly, he starts to take to the learning by himself. Then the Gaon says, when it comes to children, this is everything. This place your entire efforts and your entire energies and wealth. Everything else means nothing when it comes to children. When it comes to children, he says, only one thing means something. And what is that? Excuse me, I'm just trying to find it here. Ein Yisroin, mi bonim ubi bonis, rak betei rosam ubi maaseim hatuv. He says, this is everything with children. The Torah and their deeds. This is hakol. This is everything. Everything else, he says, is meaningless. How wealthy they'll be or not, how many cars they'll have or they won't have, how many trips overseas they'll have or not. He says, this is meaningless. There's only one thing that means with children. There's only one success with children. What is success with children? The Torah that they will acquire and their mashim tovim and their deeds. If you have children that become great in Torah, great in deeds, then you've been successful with children. Then you must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time. and on this, give all of your attention to. See, Tommy died for. This is your main attention. He says, everything else, all the other cheshbonos, I want to save money. I don't want to spend much money on his Torah education because I want to save money to leave him over afterwards. Or I want him to have money for this or that. He says, it's all secondary. He says, this is what counts. Gam Ken Yudua also, he says to his wife, it is known, Igudah de Neshei Bakri Benayel, what the Gemara says in Brochis, that where does a woman have reward for Torah? A man has reward from Torah because he learns Torah. But where does a woman have reward from Torah? Her reward from Torah is the Torah that she inspires her children to learn. And their husband. But here he's speaking of the children. So this will also be your Torah, he tells his wife, what the children have. The Omru Chazal, and also Ein Locho Ish Ksheira Benoshim El Ksheira Tzein Bailo. In Tana de Be'elio it states that the most righteous of women is a woman who fulfills the will of her husband. So he's saying this because he wants her to fulfill his will, to place all of her efforts into the Torah and the deeds of the children. The Kolshkein Shani, and how much more so in this instance, when this is not my will alone, but on the case of Lachod Divil Elikim Chayim, but I'm telling you over the words of a living God, and I know that you will fulfill whatever I write. Then he says now, Tikrasi Geres Azeis B'chol Shvua. Read this letter every week, especially on Shabbos. On Shabbos, read it before you eat and during you eat and discuss it. Discuss it during the meal in order that you won't discuss purposeless words during the meal on Shabbos. And Chas V'Sholem, heaven forbid, that there should not be Loshon Hara on Shabbos. Uvevakosho lekulchem ala nichtov le'el. And I plead with you also to train the children properly. That when it comes to the sons and the daughters, bring them up properly. I plead with you. Ki hadibur v'amid sorech hergul rav. To grow properly, to grow with good traits, good character traits, he says, a person has to be trained. A person must have discipline. He must have good habits. Now here he writes something from the Chazal which is very, very, has a great insight. He says, the secret to becoming a good person is hergel, is good habits. A person must train himself in doing what's right. It doesn't come by itself. It's not like people think that this person is naturally good and this person not. Nothing comes easy by itself. A person must train himself. He must do things over and over. He must teach himself self-control, discipline. The kol haskolas koshes, when you start, it's very difficult. But then after you become used to it, it becomes part of you. And then it's easy. This is the same thing he says, for example, with speech. People say, but how can I control my mouth? It's not easy. But how do you do it? You teach yourself. And you do it over and over and over again. Then it becomes part of you. He says, this is what the Chazal tells us. He brings it from Rabbi Yaina. Ki adibu ba'midesor hergol rav, ahergol akol dover shilton. Ahergol akol dover shilton, that what a person does over and over again becomes nature by him later on. So therefore, and he says, even the Rosho, he knows what he's doing is wrong. Don't think that a Rosho, a wicked person, who's doing all of the time wrong things, don't think he does it because he doesn't realize they're wrong. No, he knows they're wrong. But it's kosher le'lifresh. He cannot free himself from it. For example, someone on drugs. He's not smoking drugs because he thinks there's nothing wrong with it. He knows it's wrong. But he can't free himself from it. Because I'll call Dovar a hergel shulton. Because the way a person is trained, the way a person does things, it becomes part of his nature. And nature is very difficult to change. So therefore, it's very important for people to constantly train themselves. It's like you take an athlete. You think you start with the comrades. You don't start with the comrades. You start training little by little, little by little. Eventually, you come with the comrades as a second nature to you. So now, he says, this is the great responsibility of a parent, of parents. Because in accordance to the way the child will grow, that's what he'll carry on later on. So he pleads now, bring them up properly. Give them good habits. He says, and zeh kol ha'odem. And this is the entire man. That man, sorech ha'odem lishaser. That a man, his whole life, what he must do is discipline himself, and he must chastise himself. This is his whole life. Constantly to train and to bring the good over the evil. Over and over again till it becomes part of him. But what does it mean that he must discipline himself and chastise himself? So he says, Lebetanes in the Sigufi. He says, not with fasts. He says, not with afflictions. No. He says, the main chastising, the main discipline that man is called for is Beresim Pivu Tavosev. He says, to control his mouth. To control his mouth, Pivu Lashenai. Hashemer Pivu Lashenai. Shemer Mitzoris Rav. Someone who guards his mouth and his tongue, his mouth from eating and drinking which he should not eat and drink. In other words, to go just after his physical desires. And his tongue from speaking which he should not speak, will guard himself from a lot of tzoras. He'll save himself from a lot of tzoras and aggravation later in his lifetime. Zehu atshuva. He says, this is tshuva. Person wants to do tshuva. He says, don't look for tanesim, for fasts. Don't look for sigufim, for afflictions. He says, look for self-discipline, self-control. Ezo agibor, who's the strong person, the one who can control himself? Train himself. But it's a training course. It's a whole life course. Train himself how to control his mouth. When in his eating habits and his drinking habits. Train himself how to control his speech. Train himself in all of his habits. His habits of anger, and so forth and so on. But here again he comes back to Dibur. He keeps coming back and back to it. He says the main training is the person's mouth. And he writes, B'zeh kol odem, and this is the entire person. If a person can train his mouth when it comes to his eating and drinking and his talking, then he's a trained and disciplined person. He says, V'kol rega v'rega sh'odem chesem piv. Every minute that a person closes his mouth, even though he has the great urge to say something that he shouldn't say, and he closes his mouth, for every second, he's zeicha to a light in the world to come that no angel has ever seen. When a person is sitting at a table with other people, the Kol Hazayim, Zeicher Avrochem brings it. Person sitting at a table with other people and someone says something and he wants to say something but he knows he's not allowed to, but he wants to say it, and he's kevish yitzray, he chastises himself, he controls himself. Every second he controls himself and keeps his mouth closed, he'll be zeicha to a light in the next world that no angel has ever seen. That's what it states. Shemer pivu l'sheinai, shemer mitzores nafshoi. Moves v'chaim b'yar ha'losh. Death and life is in the hands of the tongue. Oy l'mi shememis atzmei b'shvil dibur echot. He says, oy. He says, how tragic it is that people are willing to give their lives away. They're willing to give their lives away
because they cannot keep their mouths closed because of one dibur. So again, he comes back to that. Now again, he says, "V'ikar haged b'gdidus." He says again now, if this is the case, safeguard yourself. He says, don't mix too much. The less you mix, the better it'll be. Now he writes, after Beis HaKnesses, people will say, but I have to go there, I have to go there, it's a mitzvah. See, it's a mitzvah. See, he tells his wife and daughters, after Beis HaKnesses, tikatzer me'evitetze. Even when you go to shul, daven and go home. No, Beis HaKnesses is a great mitzvah. He says, even when you go to shul, what are you going to shul for? You're going to shul to talk. That's what you go to shul for. You're going to shul to see, to get caught up on the latest news. You're going to shul to see what everyone else is wearing. That's what you go to shul for. You go to shul to daven. See, he says, to katzer. Daven quickly and go home. The Yeshetev, now listen to this, Yeshetev lispalel b'bayis. He tells his wife and daughters, better to daven at home. Ki be'beis HaKnesses yefshe le'inotzel me'akina. Because you come to shul, it's impossible that you should be saved from jealousy. Ulishmei advorim b'teilim, and to hear the latest gossip in loshen hora. B'nanoshin alzeh. And even if you don't say, but if you listen, you also, there's a severe punishment on that. Afa shemeh v'sheisek. It says someone who listens to Loshon Hora is the same as someone who speaks it. V'kol shkein b'shabbos v'yontif shemisasfin l'dover. And especially on Shabbos and Yontif, when they get together for this purpose. Yeisetev shalilis palu klal. He says, not only better, listen, not only better is it for you to daven at home, it would be better not to daven at all. Now you see how much nonsense we have. That we say, but I have to go there because it's a mitzvah. And this is a mitzvah. Here the Gaon is telling his wife and daughters, it's better not, if that's the case, better not to daven at all. Because what are we dealing with here? He says, because, gambitcho, the same with your daughters. It would be better they shouldn't go because Shomra begodim tevim umiskanois umisapris bebais, because there they see beautiful clothing, and then they need beautiful clothing, they want it, and they come home and they talk about it in the house. Umi takes their boy in the loshen hora, and from here you come to loshen hora leshadvorim. He says, what are we coming to? This is for the mitzvah of going to shul. It would be better not to daven at all. Ela tidave tidbak bemusa tomit. Don't worry about this world like we mentioned. He says, don't worry about this world. The main thing is worrying about the next world. Now, maybe the daughters will say, but how can we be zeicher to the next world? All right, a man can learn Torah. But what will the daughters do to be zeicher to the next world? Will they tebe b'me eske? Don't say how you'll have the next world. No. Echad amar b'v'echad amamit. U'bilvad shi'chav liv l'shamayim. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's not after quantity. He's after quality. Whether one does a great deal or one does a little, that makes no difference to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The main thing is that his heart is in the right place. His intentions are the right place. Through tzedakah, he says, you can be zeicher to the next world through tzedakah. Ulaman Hashem, he says, I beg of you the recommended amount of tzedakah that a person is supposed to give is 10%. The Gaon Shita held, no, you have to give 20%. And this is what he commanded his household. He said, Ulaman Hashem tafrish hachemish kasher tzivisicho. Always set aside 20%. Of the money, like I have commanded you. This is very, very important. And through tzedakah, you will have a world to come. But then now he comes back again. Avalei ikar. But he says, you want the world to come. The main way you'll have a world to come
is Bishmiras Piv, is by God in your mouth. V'zehu yesim mikol ha-teira v'amaisim. And this is more than all teira v'amaisim. A person will guard his mouth properly, and you'll use your mouth properly. He says, this is more than all of the teira and maisim. And this is why the women, the tzadekis, the righteous women, are called noshim shanonis. Shanonis means calm and quiet. They don't talk too much. So when it's a mitzvah to talk, they talk. When it's important, but otherwise they don't talk. Ki hapea kodesh kadoshim. Because the mouth is the holiest of the person himself. Now he goes, he wants to tell his wife and his children what they should learn. He says, I have in my library, I have a Sefer Mishle, which has an Ashkenaz, it has a Yiddish translation. Leman Hashem, he says, please, I beg to Hashem, Yikru b'chol yom, read from Sefer Mishle, study Mishle every day. And this is better than all of the Sifrei Musa. See, Mishle is the source of all Musa in the Torah Shebikshat. The written law, Mishle is your source of Musa. So he says, this is better than all the Sifrei Musa. Read Mishle. If you have to do it in Yiddish, in English, read it every day. Gam Sefer Keheles. He says, Sefer Keheles, read often. Why? Because that gives the person the proper attitude toward this world. It also others for it. But he says, it shouldn't be, again he writes, it shouldn't be a reading which is automatic. It shouldn't be a reading which is like a machine. It has to be a reading which you understand, and a reading which you react from. A reading which you are inspired from. This is how you must learn it. Now, he says, Gam es bonenu. Our sons also, sons of the grandchildren, they also, when you teach them Torah, he says, when you teach them Torah, teach them to learn Torah l'shem shamayim. Now this is something also which is very unique. Generally, when we teach children Torah, we teach them to learn Torah, but not necessarily l'shem shamayim. Not necessarily that it should be for the sake of the mitzvah of learning, for the sake of Hashem. He says, teach them Torah l'shem shamayim. Emphasize to them, train them, that they should learn Torah for the name of Hashem. Why? And he says, don't listen to people, al yashgiach la'emrim kanai ein tzorech l'zeh. Don't listen to people who tell you, this is children, what do children have to know about that for? No. Why? Because Shlema Melech said, chanei chanar al pi darkei, ki gam ki yaskin le'yosur mimenu. When you train a child in a certain way, when he gets older, he'll always carry that way. See, it's a wonderful thing with a child. You train an old person. It's not gifts of the youngest. He can take it or leave it. When you train a young child, it becomes part of him. That's kinir cholok. That's like a piece of paper that was never written on. Because I'll say. You train a young child, it becomes part of him. So how you train him in his youth, even in his old age, he will not leave that way. So he says, what do you mean that you learn Torah with a child and you don't teach him that it has to be because of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Because this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. You say, that he'll get later. So now you're training him in a different way. And gam ki yaskin lo yosem imenu. When he'll get old, that'll be with him. Not only the good training stays with him, the bad training also stays with him forever. So therefore, when you teach the children, he says, teach them l'shem shamayim, that they must realize they're learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and what a great simcha and joy it is, and how great of a mitzvah this is to Hashem. And that will stay with them. Especially, he says, with a child is very easy. And he says, that's the main, Ikra Kol, this is the paramount. Like Rameya says, Kol HaEsek B'Torah Lishma, whoever learns Torah Lishma will be zecher to so many things. Then, he says, teach them when they're little. What should you teach them when they start learning more? Masecht Ovis. Must teach them Ovis. Why? Because Ovis is Derech Eretz. Ovis will teach them good manners. Ovis will teach them good character. Ovis Derem Nosem. Teach them Ovis Derem Nosem. That's a commentary from the Tanoim on Ovis. Umasecht Derech Eretz. And teach them a sechter derech eretz. Why? Because derech eretz kod militator. How can you teach someone Torah who doesn't have derech eretz? If someone is a wilde chaya, where does he come to Torah? Torah is the chokhmah al-yena. Derech eretz is the chokhmah tachtena. So he says, when they grow, when they're young yet, teach them oves. And teach them oves Reb Nosson. And teach them derech eretz. Mesechter derech eretz. V'techabed lechamoscho. Now he tells his he's speaking now to his son-in-law, and he's saying, give honor to your mother-in-law, in other words to the Gaon's wife, ulechames kaskeno, and give honor to my mother. Techavid me'eid. Give great honor. He's speaking to his son-in-law. Vim kol odom tisnaig b'derech eretz. And with every man, conduct yourself with derech eretz. This is what he's telling his son-in-law. With every man, conduct yourself with derech eretz. B'nachas. With every man, you must deal with kindly and with a calm and a relaxation. To be covered and with honor. Now he comes to speak to his mother. And he says, to my beloved mother, I know that you do not need musar, you do not need instruction from me, because I know you're a righteous woman and you're a tznua. But still I ask you, read this letter all the time, because they are the words of Elokim Chayim, they are the words of the living God. And I beg of you, do not be upset because of me. Do not worry about me. If I'll be zeicher to be in Yerushalayim by the base Mokom HaMikdash, by the place of the Mikdash, by the Kotel, which is by Shara Shomayim, that's the gates of the heaven. Avakish ba'adeh kasher hivtachti. So I will be mespalel for you, and if we'll be zeicher, we'll be together again. Kulonu im yitzeh balarachem. And now he speaks again to his wife. He says, techabed es imi, kimei shekosa b'torah. He tells his wife, give great respect to my mother, to your mother-in-law, like it states in the Torah.
Ubeprat le'almono.
And especially, she's a widow. She oven pleeli mi oid letzara afilu betnua kalo. He says, it's an avera that is indescribable. To give tzara, to give anguish to a widow, even in the most minute detail. So, she's your mother-in-law, and she's a widow. So he says, I beg of you, be very, very careful with this. And also to my mother, I appeal that there should be shalom. There should always be peace in the house between you, both. And one should constantly make the other happy with words. Now, there's a place for words. See? Nobody says, when we say about guarding one's mouth, it doesn't mean that he should be a person that's a mute. It's said on the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, who spent his whole life writing about this great Aveira, that he was the most talkative person that you ever found. And whenever there was a gathering, he was the Reisha Madabrim. He spoke the most. The person was given a mouth to use, but he must use it properly. So he says, here, he says, you must always say good things to each other in order that one should be misameach, one should make happy the other. He says, mitzvah gdeler chalodim. He says, this is a great mitzvah. When a person comes upstairs in the world to come, and they're going to ask him questions, what did he do in this world? One of the questions will be, did you make your fellow man happy with good words? So from here we see that it's a great mitzvah to be mesameach es chaveri, to say good words to make a fellow man happy. He writes, the majority of the Torah is given to teach a person how to bring simcha to his fellow man. So therefore, he says, I beg two of his wife and his mother that they should constantly bring simcha to each other. What happens if someone says something and upsets the other? There's a faribo. See? So he says, what should you do? This is important. He says, Timchl zelze. Immediately you must be meichel. You must forgive. Immediately you must be forgiving. See, there's too many people that stand on faribo. They come, they got an English saying, they count points, they're point counters. That he did this and he shouldn't have done it. Right, he's right, he shouldn't have done it. Therefore I hold it against him. It's impossible in the area of human relations, of human interactions, that someone is not going to do something that the other person won't be a little upset with during the course of time. It's impossible. The areas of human relations is the most difficult area in the world. So what should you do? He says, and even if it happens that one said something and the other had a little faribble from it, he says, Timchel miyad, timchel zeh lezeh, b'tiyah leman Hashem esholom. He says, immediately forgive. This is a nature a person must develop in himself. That if someone says something to him, be it a member of the family or a stranger, and he gets upset with it, he must immediately forgive. And there should be sholom. Incidentally, he told this over before to his children also. He said, I think we missed it, but he said that how important it was to teach the children to respect the mother and to respect the grandmother, and to respect and to speak with kovod to anyone that... I appeal to my mother that she should help to instruct and train my children, my sons and my daughters, but bedvorim rakim, with soft words, and that they should accept, in order that they should be acceptable, and keep an eye on them. Ulivniv lenaisai, and to my sons and my daughters, I command them, shechabdeisa, that they must give cover to their mother, they must give cover to their grandmother. And amongst the children should never be heard any faribel, any machlekes, any anger. Ela hakol b'sholem. But it must be always b'sholem. Ubal ha'sholem yitein lochem. And the Bal ha'sholem HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall give to you and to my sons and to my daughters and to my son-in-law and to my brother v'chol Yisrael chayim v'sholem. Should be life and peace. This is excerpts. We didn't read the entire letter. We read a good part of it. Not the entire. These are the major excerpts though, of the letter. Now just in summary, what were some of the major issues that the Gaon dealt with? First of all, he dealt with Havli El Mazeh, the perspective that one should have for the physical world. Secondly, he dealt with the chet adibur, with the chet of the loshon, and this he went over and over and over and over again. The chet adibur, that our person must guard his tongue, b'hi chet ha'oven yeseh chomer b'chol ha'teirah. And it's the Aveira which is the most common in the entire Torah. He says, Umali lahayrech al zeh. Why is it necessary for me to expound on this? Then, because of that, he spoke on the importance of bedidus and snius. How important it is. Don't be a gerbal town. Don't be a yitzonius. It's no mitzvah for you to be present at every gathering in town. Be it a reshus or a mitzvah. See? It's even by shuls. It's no mitzvah. Weigh it carefully, what you're going to do. Then he spoke about chinuch. He kept coming back to chinuch. How important it is to educate the children and to learn with the children. And each one accordingly. To learn with the daughters like this and to learn with the sons like this. And to hire a malamed. To see that they have a good education. And to train them. And to cultivate in them proper habits. And to keep an eye on them. And to keep an eye on their health. And to bring them up with derech eretz and with midas tevis and with kibud, that they should have the proper honor for their parents and the proper honor for their grandparents, and that they should have honor for old people. And he kept going over and over again that when you teach them, though, when you teach them, it must be with rakes, with soft lotion, with menucha, with yishuv, with joy. Only when it came, and you should be machanef them also, though, you must teach them when it comes to Loshon Hora or Machlekes, you must also teach them. There, he said, when it came to that, he says, there you must not be marachim, you must not be merciful on them, you must hit them if necessary. Then he said the importance of the learning of the Sifrei Musar, the importance of that when you teach them, you must not say they're a child and they don't understand and therefore you teach them as a parrot or a machine. No. When you teach them a brocha, they must understand why they say a brocha. Because they're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or they're giving praise to Hashem. When you teach them Torah, they must understand why they're learning Torah. Because in the way you teach them now is the way that they will follow always. Then they spoke of Kiddush Shabbos. How much you must honor the Shabbos. And you must even be more careful what you speak on Shabbos. And then he kept coming back and back all of the time that there should be shalom ba'avo, the nachas. There should be shalom in the house. There should be nachas in the house. There should be no fighting, no machlekes. There should be nachilo and achva. This he kept coming back. These are the main points which we cover in these excerpts. Now what is very interesting to reflect is these are the points the Gaon chose to instruct his house where he was planning on going away, and he would be away for a long time. A trip in those days were a long time. It could be a year or 2 years or 3 years before they had planned to be reunited. And this is what he instructed them. Now the Torah has many, many mitzvahs. And sometimes we must reflect, are we placing our priorities right? Are we placing our priorities on this? All right, again, it has to be adapted to our times. We're speaking here of 230 years ago. A different generation, a different place. But still, there are some features and there are some principles that are constant when it comes to Shalom, when it comes to Loshon Hora. Are we placing our priorities right? Someone told me once, he came from a Rabbonisha family. He was brought up in a very, very fine family. His father was a great Gaon. He says, you know, he says, today, in Yiddishkeit, he says, for example, he says, kashrus plays such a major, major, major role. He says, whenever you get together with people, most of the time, that's the talk. He says, I don't remember that in my father's house. Yet our home was kosher. My father was a rov. He was a Gaon. He was a Gaon in Torah. So I don't remember talking about it. Today, machlekes. It's a mitzvah to talk about all the machlekes that's going on all over town, all over the world. or all of the politics, and it's a mitzvah, political machlekes, it goes on in Eretz Yisrael, that's a mitzvah to talk about and take sides. Didn't seem like that from the Gaon's letter. What are we saying? Then there was no machlekes in the world. When it comes to matzah is a very, very important mitzvah. He didn't talk to his family at all about matzah. Where to buy the matzah? How much matzah to eat? Unless he was planning on being back in time for the Pesach. He didn't talk about the lulav. You can talk about the esrog, what kind of esrog to get, what kind of lulav to get. And someone who came from a very fine Rabbonisha family told me, he says the same thing. Here, we see so much emphasis on these things. He says he doesn't remember them in his house. So I told him that I had the great schus to learn, Litvish Yeshiva, with Litvish Gedolim. And those things also were not discussed. They were not discussed. Everybody kept kosher. But kashrus was not an issue. Don't say because it wasn't an issue then. In the city, many times it was an issue. City, wherever it is, sheikhtim, butchers and whatnot, kashrus is also always an issue. But it was never an issue in yeshiva. It wasn't talked about. Matzah was never talked about. You bought your matzah and you ate your matzah. It wasn't talked about unless you were learning Masechta Psochim. A lulav and esrog was never talked about unless you were learning Masechta Sukkah. He gave a shir on it. Machlekes. The huge majority of the B'nai Yeshiva, the huge majority, 90%, never spoke at all of any of the political machlekes that was going on then in Eretz Yisrael. And there was plenty. Where did this derech come from? This derech came from the letter. This was not only a letter that the Gaon wrote. This was the Gaon. He wasn't writing a letter. What you see here is you have an insight into who the Gaon was. This is what he held important and what he didn't hold important. Everything is important. But these were the issues that he wanted to talk about. These were his issues. And this was the way of all of the Litvish Yeshivas. It was the way of all the Litvish Yeshivas, because the Litvish Yeshivas came from the Gaon. What did we hear about? We heard about Musa. We heard about Midas Tevis. Issues, Derech Eretz, would become a tremendous issue. If a Bocher lacked Derech Eretz, you could have a series of shmuzim, a series of lectures in the Yeshiva on that. If a Bocher lacked Derech Eretz. You heard on honesty, on integrity. Loshen Hora, that the Chofetz Chaim emblazed in all the Litvish Yeshivas. Chofetz Chaim demanded that there were Sidrei Limud 3-4 times a week in his yeshiva on the dinim of Loshen Hora. That we heard. But I never heard a shmuz on kashrus. And never on what was doing in the politics in Eretz Yisrael or other places. And never on the shechita or the kashrus. That wasn't the yeshiva. It wasn't a Litvish yeshiva, maybe other places. This is not a letter. See? This is an insight into the Gaon. And this is what his massive influence he had on 250 years of Torah, that from here it even came to America, Eretz Yisrael, and other countries. We should take from here, because these are the instructors that we should follow. We're supposed to look after our teachers. Look to our teachers. These must become our teachers. And from here we should learn where to place the emphasis and where not to place the emphasis.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.